There was this train which travels from Chennai, from Madras in the south to Delhi in the north. This train journey took about 36 hours. So there was this very successful businessman, very rich, who had traveled from Delhi to Chennai to collect his dues. He had sent a lot of supplies, and so he was collecting the money from all his, vendors and whoever had customers. So he was going from shop to shop and collecting the money. In those days, they didn't have credit cards or checks, so everything was cash. So he had this little potli, this little bag, and he kept filling it with cash, hundreds of thousands of rupees. And he had them in his, he had a little kurta like this, so he had just put it in the pockets, in these two little bags. So he was going, and so there was this thief who was very sharp, and he said, this guy has a lot of money. So he started following him, and so he would go from shop to shop and see where this guy is going. And finally, he followed him to the train station where this businessman bought a first-class ticket, from Chennai to Delhi, and he was in the line behind him. So he saw which compartment and which bogie. And in those days, they used to have this first-class compartment which only had two seats, only for two passengers. So what he did, he saw which compartment, and he bought the ticket in the same compartment. So only two of them were there. And he said, "Oh, I have two nights, it'll be easy for me to steal his money." And so they get in the train, and the train starts. And as usual, when you're in the train, you start talking, "Where are you from? And what are you doing? And why are you going to Delhi?" And the businessman was sharp. He figured out that this guy is not of the caliber that normally would travel in this kind of first class and spend this kind of money. So he was suspicious about the guy. Anyway, nighttime came. It was time to go to bed. So the businessman took out his portly, his bag, and he counted all the money he had, put it in his pocket. And the thief, and he went to the restroom, came back. They had a restroom attached. It was a luxury bogie. And so he came back, and then when the thief went to the restroom, he came back, and the businessman was fast asleep, snoring. He said, "Ah, I have a great opportunity." And he had hung his kurta on the little, like a little hook there. So he said, "Let me see where his money is." So first he searched his kurta. He didn't find it. He said, "Must be in his bag, in his suitcase." He was a thief, so he was able to unlock the suitcase, even though it was locked. Searched the suitcase completely, top to bottom, moved the clothes, moved everything. There's no money. Where is the money? He was so surprised. Tried, he gave up. Went to sleep. In the morning, he woke up, and the businessman was again counting his money to see if it was all intact. And the thief was very upset. So that tonight, the second night, I'm going to get him. So second day, they were again talking, and the train was moving. At night, when it was time to go to bed, so businessman again started counting his money. He goes to the restroom, comes back. When the thief goes to the restroom, comes back, businessman is fast asleep, snoring even louder. Says, "Ah, now I have a great chance. This time I'm not going to." So he searches his pocket, he searches his suitcase, he even sees if there's any hidden compartments. A lot of these things that are hidden, searched everything, any hidden zippers, nothing. He even slid his hand under the pillow, under the mattress. He was that good that without waking, searched everywhere and couldn't find it. He said, "What happened? Where is the money?" It was not a bill or something. It was a big packet of money. Very frustrated. He wasted his ticket and all that and 2 days, and he was very upset. The morning he woke up, the businessman again is counting his money. So finally he says, "I bow down to you." He says, "I am the greatest thief, and I have never yet been unsuccessful, but you beat me." And it was time for the train to reach Delhi. They were about to get down. He says, "You know what? Just please tell me where you hid the money. I know you hid it somewhere. Just tell me, because I have never had anybody beat me like that." So businessman felt, compassion for him. He says, "You know what? I hid it in your suitcase." And that is how we all are. You know, we have God's presence in our heart as life, as consciousness. But we are searching for him outside in the temple or in the church or in the mosque or that, or maybe we say, I go to Kailash and find him, or Kashi or Bethlehem or Mecca. I mean, these places of pilgrimage are good, and temples and churches we should go to. But if you really want to find him, you have to turn inside and look within. And that's what this 13th chapter tells us, that he's farther than the farthest and he's nearer than the nearest. He is your own self. He is your own. He is within you as life, as consciousness. So he's not far away. So even if he wants, he cannot escape from you because he is everywhere. So start by searching for him within, you know, through meditation, through prayer, through service. See that he is functioning through me, whatever I am doing, and see him in all beings. Another way to look at this same story is that we are all in the world looking for happiness. You know, I am unhappy, so by getting this object or this person, so our sense organs look for happiness outside by seeing something or hearing something or touching something or tasting something or buying something. But if you are not happy inside, then no matter what you have, you know, you're in suffering and severe pain, and somebody brings you a nice piece of jewelry or buys you a new car, and you have this incurable, you know, cancer pain, are you going to enjoy that? No. Or the best food that comes, or the best clothes. You may be sleeping in a luxurious, you know, 7-bedroom home, you know, on the country club. But if, you know, you are mentally disturbed, there is something wrong with your child or your spouse or your family members, you're not going to be happy. So they say that the source of happiness is within. So turn within, and once you are turned within and you see the Lord's presence, then you can search for him outside. But our problem is that we are always looking for happiness in things and objects. So they say happiness is within. And the more you discover that, the more you go inward, the more you come closer to this Lord of your heart. So this is what we had studied last week. He says, he's further than the furthest, closer than the closest, subtler than the subtlest, inside and outside, everywhere. So that was verse number 16. So today, the two verses we have will continue the description of the Lord. Because as we know, this chapter is Kshetra and Kshetragnya. Kshetra is the world that includes my body. My body is also the field because my body is known to me. So who is the knower? The knower is the Lord. And my vasanas, my desires and my tendencies are known to me. My body is known to me. My mind, my emotions are known. My thoughts are known. And the whole world of objects, emotions and thoughts are all known to me, the knower, the Kshetragnya, the Lord. So this chapter gives us a very, very clear definition of who this Lord is, where does he reside, and how we can reach him. How we can reach him, he will talk in the subsequent verses. Today, the two verses we have will complete this beautiful section which describes the Lord. And that is from verse number 13 to 18. These six verses tell us who this Lord is. So we'll do verse number 17. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam iva cha sthitam vibhaktam iva cha sthitam bhuta bhartra cha tadneyam grasishnu prabhavishnu cha. Avibhaktam, undivided. Vibhakta means divided. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu. In all beings, avibhaktam is undivided. Cha means and. So he's continuing from the previous verse, and the Lord is undivided in all beings, vibhaktam eva chastitam. Even though he is undivided in bhuteshu, in all beings, vibhaktam eva. Even though the Lord is undivided, he appears to be divided in all beings. Bhuteshu vibhaktam eva. Eva means he appears to be, he just like what? He appears to be divided in bhuteshu chasthitam. He is established. He is established in all beings. He is actually undivided, but appears to be divided amongst all of us. And then he says, bhuta bhartracha, and he is the supporter of all bhutas, all beings. Bhutas means not only humans, but animals, plants, birds, fish. He is the supporter of all, and that's why he is chatat neyam, that the Lord is to be known. Because the one who is supporting you, you want to know him. You know, like when you're in college, if your dad is sending money, you want to know who he is, at least know his cell number so you can call him when your money runs out. Or the bank, you know, from whom you have taken a loan, a mortgage on your house. You want to know which bank your, you know, mortgage is so that you send him the check every month. So that is the supporter. So you need to know who is your supporter. But he's not only the supporter, he is Grasishnu Prabha Vishnu cha. Grasishnu means he is the devourer. He eats, he destroys, and Prabha Vishnu, and he also creates. And Vishnu is, has many meanings. Vishnu means the Lord. Vishnu also means all-pervading. So he's the all-pervading Lord who supports us, devours us, takes us away at the time of death, and gives us birth. So let us study. So what do we mean by he is undivided but appears divided among all beings? You know, that is the, as I said, this whole description is full of paradox. He's under, like he says, he's far and he's near. He's moving but yet unmoving. He is divided yet undivided. So the example again, you know, the closest element to the Lord we have is space. And if you look at the example of space, space is one. It's not there are multiple spaces. You know, there is one space which is all the way from here, trillions of miles. But even though space is one, undivided, there is no division. But it appears divided, like now there is this room space, you know, this building space. And in this building space, there is a room space. And then I have a cup, and so there is a glass space. If you have a pot, there is a pot space. So it appears divided in all the objects. But when the conditioning is removed, the space appears to be conditioned. Appears to be conditioned by the pot, or appears to be conditioned by the room. But when these conditionings are removed, when the walls are broken, or when the pot falls and breaks, then what happens? That pot space merges into the room space. And then say if the room walls are broken because we need a bigger building, then the room space will merge into the total space. Even when I'm carrying the pot, as we had talked last time, it appears that the pot space is moving. I'm carrying the pot in my hand and I say, oh, the pot space is moving. No, the pot space does not move because space is everywhere, has nowhere to move to. And also the space is subtle. It cannot be conditioned by the pot. Water can be, air can be, but space cannot be conditioned, cannot be held or, you know, moved in anything. So the pot moves in space, but it appears that the space is moving. It appears the space is conditioned. It appears the space is divided. But in reality, nothing happens to space. It neither gets conditioned, neither moves, nor gets divided. So similarly, the Lord of all beings, the Brahman, the totality, the consciousness, is subtler than space, pervades even more, further than space. Because this space, these five elements, only extend to this world, this particular universe. But there's the scriptures tell us there are 14 lok, there are 14 worlds, 7 above and 6 below, and the earth, and none of them have this space. This space does not extend into Indralok or Brahmalok. They have their own space, which is a subtler than this even space. So that consciousness, which extends beyond all the 14 worlds, as we says in Purush Suktam, Atyatishthat Dashangulam, it is pervades the all universe and then extends beyond that. So which is subtler than space, which is more pervading, more pervasive, so that cannot be conditioned. So all of us have this consciousness within us. And as we move around, we can say, oh, the consciousness in me is moving, or it is being conditioned, or it has been divided. It is her consciousness and her and his. No, there is only one consciousness. All of us are floating in that consciousness. All of us are, just as the part is not conditioned, I mean, space is not conditioned by the part, so that consciousness is not conditioned by us. It cannot be divided. It cannot move. So as I move, I am moving in that consciousness. I am not conditioning that consciousness. So that consciousness cannot be divided, cannot be conditioned, cannot move, just as space. So that's why it says, even though undivided, it appears to be divided. But there is only one consciousness. There is just as there is only one space. That is all pervading. So within and without us, just as we have space, so within and without, we have that consciousness. And then bhuta bhartra cha, and it is the bhuta bhartra, grasishnu prabha vishnu. And that's why it is to be known. In fact, the Buddha says that as long as you do not know the self, you are living in darkness. You are living in ignorance. The only thing that is important in this life, even yesterday, Vimalji told us, there was this famous slide by Shivanand Maharaj, who was actually a teacher of Swami Chinmayananda. First, Swamiji learned from him and then went to Tapovan Maharaj, who is even, who gave him the greater self-knowledge. So Shivanand Maharaj says, he says, the only reason to be born, only purpose of birth of human is God realization. Everything else is worthless and useless. That was his words. That's what Vimalji had it on the board. So he says that is to be known. And again, known, people always talk about how should I know him. So all only equipment we have is the intellect. So intellect, we study the Gita, we read all these descriptions. And we say, oh, understood, I understood that it is now to be known as an object. And we'll talk in the next verse, it is not to be known as an object, it is the self, my own self, the own life, the consciousness. And we'll talk a little more about that, but that is the only thing to be known. That is the number one priority we have to have in our life. Of course, we have to take care of our children and our work and have to, but instead of spending too much time just reading useless things or, you know, watching too much TV or internet or surfing, spend some time every day reading about him, practicing that, you know, through service, through do some prayer, some meditation, because this is the main reason we were born. The human intellect was given to us to know God, not to, you know, people have one PhD, then they go and get a second PhD and a third PhD. And, you know, one, I have become, was a lawyer, now I want to become a doctor. They waste so much time in all these pursuits. So they say your time is limited, utilize it to know. That is the gnayam, that is the only thing to be known. Or the most important thing. Okay, if you say only thing, then I don't believe that. Okay, then say, okay, it's the most important thing. We'll grant you that much. That you know other things, but make this the most important thing to be known in your life. Why? Because he is the generator, organizer, and destroyer. That's why they say, no, God, G-O-D, generator, organizer, and destroyer. So he is the one that gave me birth. He is the one that's sustaining, and he is the one that finally we merge back into it. And people come and say, where is God? Have you seen God? You know, they will always go to these Swamijis. Have you seen God? Where is God? I don't see him. Can you show him? Show me God. If Swamiji can show me God, then only I'll become your disciple. So I read a very beautiful description. He says it's like the necklace goes around and asks other necklaces, you know, where is gold? Have you seen gold? Can you show me gold? I don't know where is gold. You show me gold. And the necklace is a wise necklace, you know. So it says, oh, necklace, listen. You are nothing but gold and gold alone appearing in the form of necklace. So turn your attention away from the necklace form and turn towards gold and you will see it as your own nature. So we all are nothing but that one consciousness appearing in all different names and forms, all different appear, you know, the variety. I mean, there's 7 billion people, that many fingerprints. You know, it's unbelievable, the variety. They say no two snowflakes are the same. No two leaves are the same. I don't know if it's true or not, but I have read that. So this beautiful infinite variety of flowers and birds and fruits, you know, oh, so many fruits we have. So many animals and birds and fish. And if you, I remember we went to this, off Australia, there is this Great Barrier Reef. And when you go underneath snorkeling, thousands and thousands of fish, every color on earth and multiple colors, you know, they are mixture of, I mean, what? It's so beautiful. It's unbelievable. All this variety is that one. So that's why it needs to be known, because whatever I am, whatever I have, whatever is I see, everything is that. And that is the vision of a saint. When you see Mahatmas like Vimalji, whom we met yesterday, Swamiji who comes, and all these other acharyas, they have that universal love for all. If you meet Swami Tejomayanandaji, the head of the Chinmaya Mission, we have had the fortune to get to know him. He's the symbol of unconditional, total love. If you want to see a person who is a walking and talking and a functioning saint, you just have to spend some time with him. He is total love, total compassion for all. And what a brilliant intellect. There are almost 300 centers throughout the world. And it is so interesting. This Swamiji was an ordinary student. He just was a graduate in a college in Bhopal, and he met Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda and then decided to renounce and spent years serving Swamiji, learning from him, and then became the head. So the interesting thing about Guruji, we call him Tejomayanandaji, is that everywhere in the world, all the centers, he knows the name of all the people in that center, the majority of the people. He knows the names of the husband, the wife, the children, what they do. Amazing memory. I have a problem even, you know, knowing the people in our center, even though I see them every day. And he may see them once a year, but I remember he met Pragati, you know, Girish. He said, Pragati, how Shivani? You know, just like that. And Pragati, he might have met twice in his whole life. And so that kind of memory. So these wise people, these Mahatmas, they have tremendous, you know, love for all and tremendous compassion. Talking about love, this lady tells her husband, you know, you don't love me anymore. He said, why do you say that? I love you so much. She says, you know, things I get you for your birthday, you never use them. He said, what? What did I not use that you got me for my birthday? She says, I got you that plot in the cemetery last year. I haven't used it yet. So that kind of love we shouldn't have. Yeah, that's dangerous love. But anyway, so this is the thing to be known. And it is the best thing to be known and the only thing to be known. And how we will know it, we'll talk a little more in the next verse. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Namaha. हरि ओम।